With vaccines now widely available, a lot of Wisconsinites have been able to make summer plans more like the ones they did before the pandemic. Seeing family, joining sports leagues, holding birthday parties. But for families with members who can't get the vaccine, it can be tricky to understand what's safe and to navigate spaces where so many people have let their guards down. Madeline Fox has more on families with a mixed vaccination status.
A drawer in the laundry room of the Albert Home in Mequon is stuffed with masks in different sizes, colors, and patterns.
So we kind of mix, like, as long as they're clean, like, I don't mind whatever kid wants to wear whatever.
The family of six still get a lot of use out of it, with three of their four kids too young to get vaccinated. They've been able to do more than they could last summer. Their daughter Kieran is playing softball again, just with masks. They get to see family that lives nearby.
My mom just had a birthday a couple days ago, and so when we got together, the adults usually don't mask now, but the kids that are unvaccinated still do, like when we're inside to have dessert, that kind of thing.
On a Friday morning, they headed for their local library in Mequon. The three youngest kept their masks on, and they headed to the self-checkout with a whopping 33 books. The Alberts have been able to keep relatively busy with the library, the playground next door, and sports teams, but have kept their pre-vaccination precautions in place, especially for kids Kieran, Liam, and Bryn. Generally, the guidance from state and federal health agencies is the same for unvaccinated kids as it was for everyone a few months ago, says Medical College of Wisconsin epidemiologist Laura Cassidy.
We do know that wearing a mask protects them. We know distancing, we know hygiene, we know all this, and, you know, the poor kids are going to have to do that a little longer than some of us, but we should all, you know, support the children in that.
Still, with disease levels down substantially, some summer school programs and camps are dropping mask requirements and distancing guidelines, even for kids who can't get the shots. That's left it up to individual families to weigh the risks of certain activities and inquire whether any COVID precautions are still in place.
You have to balance the risk with the benefit of the social interactions and of the sports and of the being outside. And, you know, what is the child's individual health status?
Cassidy says with family members who aren't vaccinated or for whom the vaccine might not offer as much protection because of underlying conditions, it's probably still safer to drive to a vacation spot than fly, for example. That's how the Alberts are navigating vacation. Local parties with family are okay, but seeing family in other parts of the world will have to wait, says mom Kathleen and Landon, who's 13.
That is one thing we haven't been able to do.
Like
so.
England or India to see my cousins and grandparents.
And my husband's parents still live in India and some extended family, and we've been trying to go every couple years, and it's been 2 years this summer.
How families are feeling now about the risks from COVID varies depending on how they've experienced the pandemic so far. Some had less access to health care, underlying conditions, and fewer resources. COVID fell heaviest on low-income families and families of color, who disproportionately lost loved ones, but also jobs and homes.
When we use the word normal, it is invalidating, because it means that we can return to what was.
That's Sinesha Dale, a professor of psychology at the University of Miami. She studied and worked with families affected by the trauma of another deadly disease, HIV.
For people who have experienced a lot of trauma and a lot of losses, there is no return to what was. It's trying to forge ahead.
As COVID restrictions lift, she says ideally vaccinated people would also try to make things easier for people not yet protected by vaccination.
We have to ask ourselves, like, what is it that I want to get out of this activity? And then think about, well, are there adjustments that could be made where I would still get the feeling and fulfillment that I would want from it, but I would minimize the potential risk to myself or other people that I love?
Kids under 12 are expected to get approval for the vaccine sometime next fall. At least until then, many families will continue weighing risks while they watch much of the country happily set aside the precautions of the last year and a half. Madeline Fox, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now we'll hear more from the Wisconsin epidemiologist in that story and look at the ways we can protect non-vaccinated friends, family members, and coworkers. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have kids under the age of 12? How are you deciding which activities are safe and okay? What precautions are you still taking? What have you cast aside? What has you confused? And are you or is someone in your family someone with a compromised immune system where either you can't get the vaccine or you can, but you're not sure how well it's going to work? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Laura Cassidy is a professor and director of epidemiology at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Let's start with what I imagine is a really common situation. Vaccinated parents, but their kids under 12 can't get vaccinated yet. And parents might be thinking, on the one hand, well, I know COVID isn't as bad for kids, but on the other hand, that doesn't mean it's, you know, harmless. On the other hand, you know, you start to run out of hands pretty quick. How do you advise a family to start weighing those risks versus the benefits of doing stuff?
Right. And this is very individual from family to family, depending on how many of your family members are vaccinated and how many children you have who are unvaccinated or not eligible to get it. And I think the thing to keep in mind is anyone who is not vaccinated is at risk of getting COVID-19 and could be at risk of getting seriously ill. So it is important to take this seriously. And the more adults that are vaccinated and people who can be vaccinated and are immune, that is the best way to protect our children. But all throughout the pandemic, we've talked about layers of protection. And vaccination is the toughest layer. But on top of that, we can still wear masks, social distance, wash our hands. Being outside is better. So I would just think about the benefits of the things you want to do and how to mitigate the risks in each situation.
And as we heard in that piece there, we don't have vaccines approved for kids 12 and under yet, or under 12. Do you have a sense of the timeline to where that might be a reality?
Well, they are conducting clinical trials now with children under 12 years of age. And so the data indicates that it would likely be sometime this fall where there could be an emergency use authorization. It would likely maybe go down to 6 years first and then younger children, but that depends on the data.
How about within a household where you've got, again, some people vaccinated, some not, either because they're young or for whatever reason? Are there ways we should be thinking about, you know, living together in the same place and ways to protect the unvaccinated in our own homes?
Yes. Well, if the majority or all of the people who are of age and able to get vaccinated are, that's the best way to protect them. You can interact with other families who have high vaccination rates, preferably outside. And if they're practicing safety precautions as you, you know, the bubble is good. Outdoor activities are good. Think about the rate in your community. Each individual community is different. Think about, do you have a high vaccination rate in your community, or do you have a low vaccination rate and a higher spread of disease? Then your children are more at risk and you want to be more careful.
Does that make it kind of hard for people to evaluate? Because there's a lot of variables there. It's not simple yes, no type questions, right?
Right. It is very difficult. And I imagine it's very stressful for parents as well and children. And I think, you know, throughout this, probably one of the keys is some consistency. And we've had a lot of changing messages, new data, new information, and we're learning as we go. And I think with children, you know, being consistent is important. And we've been stressing the mask wearing and distancing for their safety throughout the pandemic. So I think continuing that in the best way we can also offers some stability for the children.
Now, I've been focusing on children who can't get vaccinated yet. There's also concerns about people who are immunocompromised. In a lot of cases, as I understand it, please correct me if I'm wrong, their bodies, even when they get the vaccine, might not have that immune response that most of us would get with the vaccine. How worried are you about people in that situation?
Yeah, well, I would be very protective of people in that situation. And another thing to consider is if you have people in that situation and you also have children in the household who can't get vaccinated, then you want to be even more cautious because we want to protect everybody the best we can. I do know in Israel, they're going to start offering a third booster to people who are immunocompromised to help boost their immunity a little more. And perhaps they may be considering that here as well.
We're talking to Laura Cassidy, professor and director of epidemiology at the Medical College of Wisconsin, talking about how to stay safe if some members of your household are vaccinated and others are not. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you wrestling with some of these questions right now, this summer maybe, or wondering what you're going to do in the fall, and especially the winter when it's harder to go outside? What kind of activities are on your approved list with kids? What precautions are you taking? What questions do you have for our guest epidemiologist. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk now with Medical College of Wisconsin epidemiologist Laura Cassidy about mixed vaccination status households, places where maybe parents are vaccinated, kids under 12 aren't and can't be yet, how to stay safe. You can join in with your questions or your experiences, what you are doing to stay safe, what kind of precautions you're still taking, what has the thumbs up for the kids. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We got a message from a Susie in southwestern Wisconsin who wonders if people who are vaccinated can still carry COVID. And if so, why are we opening things up without making sure we're still masking? So the main part of that, Laura, how likely are we to spread COVID if we are already vaccinated?
Well, we do know that people who are vaccinated are, the vaccines are very effective at preventing serious illness and hospitalizations, especially with the Delta variant. There's been reports of people who have a mild case of COVID and the symptoms can be quite different. Well, not quite different, but a little different in that it is a sore throat, sneezing, runny nose are more prevalent than some of the other traditional ones we've been used to. I think we're still evaluating the data on how much it can be transferred to other people. But the data suggests that it is effective in reducing transmission.
So for that parent then who, you know, is vaccinated, has a kid at home, are there precautions they should be taking just when they're out in public to avoid even the slight risk of bringing COVID home to their unvaccinated kids?
Yeah, if they're concerned, then they should continue to wear a mask and watch the activities that they engage in and keep their distance.
Susie, thanks for that message. You can join in with your questions or comments or love to hear your experiences and what you're doing in your family at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Laura, I know last summer COVID took a dive. It dipped a lot here in the U.S. and then came back in the fall and winter a lot as we, of course, went back inside in places like Wisconsin. And you just described a Delta variant with symptoms that sound a lot like cold and flu, and they're going to be hard to tell apart. How worried are you about what's going to happen here in the fall, especially as this Delta variant goes around and we have pockets of unvaccinated people?
Yeah, I think you can see right now what's going on in some of the states where they have the lowest rates of unvaccinated individuals, and they're seeing surges. Because the Delta variant is so much more contagious and causes much more severe illness. And so in states like Missouri, their hospitals are filling up again because they have so many unvaccinated people. So the key really is the vaccine. That is our ticket out of this pandemic. And so entering the fall, the more people we can get vaccinated before fall, the better. Schools have been shown to be pretty safe, and they have, if they have good ventilation and good practices, then we can be confident in sending our children back to school. But again, you know, it is difficult sometimes to tease out if it's a mild case of COVID, distinguishing that from something else. So if you are unvaccinated, then, you know, you really need to wear masks and monitor yourself and get tested. You can't really have it both ways.
A lot of this, as you've mentioned, keeps coming back to getting people vaccinated early on. There's a supply issue. At the beginning, we didn't have enough vaccine to get to all the people who wanted it. Now we do, and it's demand or in some cases accessibility that's holding things up. Are there things you'd like to see focused on to try to boost those vaccination numbers even further?
Yeah, I think probably one of the most effective ways to decrease vaccine hesitancy and increase the confidence is by people having conversations. You know, everybody's heard from the experts, they've heard from the doctors, but, you know, peer-to-peer conversations about the fact that you are 100 times greater risk of getting severe COVID than you are of getting any kind of serious side effect from the vaccine. So the vaccines are available and they do work.
We are talking about COVID and vaccines and what to do in mixed vaccine status families with Laura Cassidy, professor and director of epidemiology at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions or how you are handling these issues. Again, 800-642-1234. And Laura, it's summertime. People are traveling again a lot, driving in some cases, flying in others. What kind of advice do you have for people as they consider travel plans with COVID precautions in mind?
Yeah, I know we're all anxious to get back out there and have fun. So look at where you're traveling to and where you're traveling through and check out if it's an area with high vaccination rates and low disease. So right now you would want to avoid those states that are seeing a surge. Anytime there's more unvaccinated people, the disease can spread and people who are unvaccinated can get sick. So that's the first thing. Look at that. Be diligent with hand washing. If you have children or family members who can't be vaccinated, have them wear a mask in public. Try to do outdoor activities, eat at outdoor restaurants, and just, you know, follow the guidelines that we've been following until we can get our children vaccinated.
Let's go to our callers now. Terry is with us in Madison. Terry, hi. Oh, Terry dropped out. Terry was wanting more clarity. Terry's wondering what you see as the most risky behaviors, Laura. What's at the top of your, yeah, maybe still don't do that list right now?
Well, I would say gathering with a group of people indoors who aren't vaccinated. To categorize any certain activity, you know, really depends on if you're in an area, again, with low vaccination rates and unmasked in a large crowd inside.
All right, Terry, I dropped off the line there, but I hope you heard that, and I hope that answers your question. So the Delta variant, Laura, is the big part of the story right now. What kind of things do we still need to learn about that and other variants? What are some of the big open questions in your mind?
Yeah, well, some of the big open questions are, what are the long-term consequences of getting ill with COVID-19, whether it's severe or mild cases of COVID-19, we really don't know what the long-term effects are. And you hear about the long haulers and people who are sick for a long time. Well, especially in children, you know, they're still developing. So if they get sick, we really don't know how this affects them long-term.
And what are you watching for globally right now? I know we're ahead of the game in some ways in the United States when it comes to vaccination efforts. What countries around the world do you have your eye on for what's coming next?
Yeah, well, of course, we're worried about India, South America, and Africa. I have friends in Africa that I work with, and they share information with me. And, you know, the rates in Africa are going up. The vaccination rates are low and their healthcare system can't handle it. And I have a friend who's a physician in Uganda, and she texted me last week that she lost her father and her uncle last week. Their hospitals are full. They don't have enough oxygen and they don't have enough vaccines.
Let's try going back to our callers. Jennifer is with us in Milwaukee. Jennifer, hi.
Hi. I have a question. If you have a household where all members of the household are vaccinated and one person tests positive for COVID, what are the guidelines in terms of quarantining for the vaccinated other people?
Got it. Jennifer, thanks for the call. Laura?
Well, if they're all vaccinated and one person tests positive, I'm assuming that person was not vaccinated. But if everybody else is vaccinated, they're saying if you're exposed to somebody, the CDC says now, if you're exposed to somebody and you've been vaccinated, that you do not need to quarantine. But the positive case would need to quarantine and isolate.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for that call. And Laura, I keep seeing numbers lately where, you know, hospitals report of our patients who have been hospitalized with COVID, 99 or 100% are unvaccinated. vaccinated. We see this in hospitals, state level, and more. Can you talk about the difference that vaccines are making and the risk of being unvaccinated when we see numbers like that?
Yeah, it's just so clear. So clear that these vaccines are effective and that they protect you. And the people who are getting very sick now, who are getting hospitalized and are losing their lives, are those who are not vaccinated. And we are also seeing more hospitalizations and severe disease in younger people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. So this is concerning.
We'll leave it there for now. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Laura Cassidy, professor and director of epidemiology at the Medical College of Wisconsin, talking about COVID vaccines, how mixed vaccination status households can stay safe, and more. Coming up, we'll hear about a bill that would have helped finance the purchase of two central Wisconsin paper mills, why Governor Evers chose to veto it, and what comes next for that idea. Remember, you can follow all of our conversations here on the Ideas Network in a whole bunch of different ways. On your radio, of course, you can listen online at WPR.org. And remember, you can download the Wisconsin Public Radio app. You can listen to the Ideas Network and those other things we do at Wisconsin Public Radio, if you like. Download the app onto your smartphone or tablet. You can find it wherever you get your apps, or find out how over at WPR.org.